Well, g'day and welcome back to another episode of the StoneX Australian Cattle and Beef Market Report. My name is Ripley Atkinson. I'm the Australian Meats and Livestock Manager for StoneX based in Sydney, where we're developing price risk management tools for the Australian livestock industry to help the sector manage market and price volatility with our Australian feeder cattle forward contract. We're brought to you by StoneX Group, a NASDAQ-listed global financial services network with 100 years of experience in global commodity markets. Remember that the trading of derivatives, such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps, may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're back in the Sydney studio this week after two fantastic episodes with my Brazilian and US colleagues. Thanks again to Ryan, Victor and Carl for joining me. Really got a lot out of the opportunity to speak with those guys in person. So if you haven't listened to those episodes yet, I'd encourage you to go back and do so. Some really valuable information, which I think would teach a lot of we Australians a lot about the US and Brazilian markets and hear it directly from the source on what's going over there in each of those locations respectively. But today we're going to get into markets. There's been a lot happening in the past couple of weeks particularly, and there's really been a lot that's changed since we last discussed markets nearly a couple of months ago now. We're going to look at what's driving that, why, key themes, etc. At a headline level, on topics to be discussed today, really about that producer and market emotion that's having a really big influence on this easing cycle in prices at the minute, coinciding with a period of high supply, seasonally we expected, and a little bit of panic, I think would be fair to say that we're going to consider and just have a bit of a look at. Angus to crossbred spreads, I believe, likely to surpass 2025's levels and rise above $1 a kilo in the winter months of this year. And finally, the combination of near record or at record weekly slaughter numbers in Australia and strong production volumes are combining to drive really strong monthly beef export performance. Beginning with prices, in the past really two full weeks of trading, we've seen the market come off quite quickly and it's come off a fair bit. And that's across the board. There hasn't been any categories that have sort of been spared or protected from that. It's a combination of a number of factors here. There's never just one dynamic that's contributing. It's coinciding of stronger supply. It's the cost of freight, cost of fertilizer, dry to drought conditions in northern New South Wales, southern Queensland. Panic and producer emotion is another factor. Really strong supply. There's just this combination we're seeing at the minute of a multitude of things that are combining here to put pressure on this market. I mentioned freight, fuel, fertilizer, dry to drought conditions in northern New South Wales, southern Queensland. I think they're a really big player here at the minute in terms of why we've seen the producer end of the market panic. There's certainly nervousness in the market. Conversations I'm having with producers across a pretty broad area too is definitely showing that. What I would say is this has really been focused on central New South Wales north. The southern regions have sort of been spared a little bit from it, but the erraticness and the panic isn't there in the south like it is in the north. I think it's what we're seeing here in the last 2 weeks and moves in markets, it's a really good reminder of how significant an influence producer emotion at a group level has on market performance. You're seeing it, you know, right across the board too. Like we look into Queensland, 80% of the state's in above average to excellent seasonal conditions, and you're still seeing prices really ease quite quickly. It just shows you that the market at the minute to me is trading on emotion. It's not trading fundamentals. And that emotion, as we're seeing, is you know, is really driving strong supply. Producers are wanting to get cattle off and into feedlots, etc., before the market falls any further. Conversations I've had with feedlots, you know, they're either fully supplied or oversupplied and have closed their books accordingly because of the availability of cattle and the numbers of cattle presented to them. You're now seeing feedlots booked 4 weeks forwards, but they do want to stay somewhat current, just to stay in touch with the market, in the sense of, because it's moved so quickly in such a short amount of time, they want to keep close to it and aren't going out too far forwards beyond a month because of that evolving and fairly liquid situation. You look at the restocker level, I think prices generally across the boards there have eased purely based on the fact that the producer is looking at the finished rates, feeder and slaughter cattle, and they're seeing those rates pull back, and they're doing the same thing on the light stock. I think for me, it's pretty clear this past fortnight of prices, despite the fact that fundamentals are good generally right across the board. You know, we've got pretty good seasonal conditions in the bulk of the eastern seaboard. I'm not disputing how dry it is through central, northern New South Wales, southern Queensland, but generally things are pretty good. There's globally a shortage of protein. Demand is strong for our product. But, you know, in 2 weeks, we've seen markets fall 10 to 15, 20% very, very quickly. I think it's a really clear indication of how finely balanced producer confidence is at the minute, despite the fundamentals of the beef industry being really, really positive. You know, it shows that it's that confidence is quite fickle. You know, it only takes a situation like a combination of these things, of course, but I certainly think fuel sort of sparked a bit of it, and then everyone steps in and it snowballs. But it only takes one little ignition for the producer end of the market collectively to get emotive and get a bit concerned and panic a bit. I think, you know, we've really seen emotion play a big part in this market in the past fortnight. The conversations I've had with people tell me that's the case. We've seen it before. 2023, great example, emotion really driving and changing markets quite quickly. 2022, again, with the media announcements around foot and mouth disease and lumpy skin disease in Indonesia and Bali particularly, how quickly the market goes into sell-off mode and just pushes the eject button on stock and just wants to get out. We'll see this happen again. And I think what we're seeing here at the minute is a really risk-off approach, and people are wanting to get ahead of the falling knife, basically, and get cattle out the door. The market needs to hold its nerve, though. It needs to take a breath, pull itself together, and hold its nerve. I think all of a sudden we're forgetting the fundamentals of the position the Australian beef industry finds itself in. We're actually in a really healthy spot. But as I mentioned a moment ago, the market's not trading fundamentals at the minute. It's risk off, sell down, and trade with emotion. And that's why we've seen this volatility intensify so quickly, and it's a risk off approach. I just think it needs to sort of take a bit of a look at itself. Producers need to hold their nerve and just take a step back. The fundamentals are good. We're in a good spot, but situations like this can sort of unravel themselves very, very quickly if it's not checked up. Moving past prices, but sticking with or past general market prices and getting into the Angus crossbred spreads, this has come up this week, really, more than anything, is quite a topical conversation I've had with feedlots, and where that Angus rate itself is going to get to through winter, and subsequently where we're going to see Angus priced over crossbred cattle in winter as well. I'm still quite bullish on this spread for winter. I think we're potentially looking at $1.20. It could peak at June, July, August, most likely July, August, I would suspect, is when that price spread will peak. Now, that's not necessarily when Angus prices peak, but the spread will peak, or I believe it'll peak through that July, August period. Why I'm still bullish on it? When we consider the New England, Northwest, and New South Wales, Southern Queensland included, it is the major supply region for Angus feeder cattle in the eastern seaboard. Hands down, that's where all the feedlots get their Angus feeders from. And having driven through that region in the past week to 10 days, it's very clear to me that there are not going to be the cattle there through winter that we've had there previously. It is very, very dry to drought in some places. Water is an issue. There's not going to be an oats crop. A lot of cattle are exiting that region very quickly because there's just not feed and they're not going to have a season for winter. That situation of a lack of supply out of the key Angus sort of supply region on the eastern seaboard is going to coincide with a period of when you see feedlots, exporters and brands really intensify demand for Angus feeder cattle to go into feedlots and exit their programs to be landed in a box in China in early 2027 to beat the quota issue that once it resets, obviously on January 1, we can get product in there under that tariff of or under that quota. And that situation is going to coincide with shortness of supply of Angus feeders out of the New England, Northwest and New South Wales. And the demand from those brands, feedlots, etc., is going to be very, very strong. We know the South isn't going to have enough cattle themselves. It wouldn't surprise me to see the Southerners back in northern markets. And what I mean by that, you know, northern New South Wales, southern Queensland, chasing cattle because they're not going to have enough numbers themselves to satisfy their needs. They're going to have the same attitude as the northern feedlots and brands that are going to be chasing cattle to go on feed and exit their program to hit China early next year. There's just a combination of factors here that are quite supportive of that spread really improving and Angus prices overall really improving into winter. I think the spreads will surpass last year. Last year it reached about a little bit over a dollar a kilo. I think this year, as I mentioned, we could be looking at $1.20 a kilo, which to me indicates we should or could potentially see Angus feeder prices from $5.50 to $6.20 in the winter months of this year. I think the $6.20 mark is really going to be pushing things uphill, particularly if we can't see a strong improvement and a rise as well in the Fed Angus price. But I think we're certainly looking at rates above $5.50 into the middle of this year for black cattle. Already for Angus cattle delivered northern New South Wales, southern Queensland, you're looking at $5.30 for a delivered price for a black feeder. So we're nearly at $5.50 already and we haven't come to the real crunch point. On pricing, though, I think what's really interesting, and it's really indicative of this situation with China, your F1s, so Angus cow, Wagyu bull, and even some of your Wagyu articles that aren't full bloods or purebreds, they're pricing at discounts to pure Angus feeders right now. It gives you a really good indication of how much of an influence that China market has had and what it's sort of done to attitudes of feedlots and brands towards F1 cattle and Wagyu cattle, because that market ultimately isn't going to be there in a pretty short amount of time. And these cattle being purchased now when they exit the system, most of them anyway, will exit the system when that tariff of 55% still applies, as in they'll be pushed out in the back half of this year and that tariff won't have been reset yet. Just an interesting acknowledgement of that lack of interest in F1s and WAGs at the minute because of that China market. You don't traditionally at all ever see them at discounts to pure Angus feeders, but we are, and it's a good indication of how, you know, global market forces can impact demand here domestically. Finally, to wrap up, March exports. Second highest of any month on record. They nearly pushed 150,000 tons, or about 149,975 metric tons, I think, roughly. Really impressive result. When you look across the board, not just at our majors, our big four markets, but also some emerging markets. Records were broken. South Korea and Thailand were a highlight, both an established and emerging market. They had monthly all-time records broken in March. Really good performance. Some of the other countries, UK volumes lifted by nearly 200%, Vietnam up, the US volumes up overall. China had its third highest month on record. I suppose the caveat with China is, you know, that's been driven by the rush to get product into that market prior to hitting quota. But generally across the board, really impressive results to see that such a large figure, 149,000 tons, so early in the season. I would suspect we will see monthly records broken on exports again once or twice, maybe more in 2026. So really pleasing to see such a good result. I think chatting with the meat end of the market and exporters this week, there's a lot of wait and see on what the repercussions of this, of hitting the China quota, is actually going to look like. It doesn't matter the scale of the exporters. They all believe they're going to take a hit in some capacity, but it's a bit unsure as to what it looks like. Now, your majors of South Korea and Japan are yet to offer pricing because they too, those importers, are waiting on waiting to see when this quota is hit so they can then start determining pricing. So most export books are staying quite short at the minute in that space, and they do generally all agree that they are going to take a hit. They just don't know in terms of how much that hit is on a dollar a kilo rate to get product into another market, because most product isn't going to continue into China with that 55% tariff. So exports at or near very close to record levels. When we bring that back here to Australia and consider what's driving it, last week or late March leading into Easter, we saw kill numbers reported by the National Livestock Reporting Service above 160,000 head for that week. When we adjust that to include the whole Australian processing sector, you're looking at a kill a touch over 200,000 head, which I'm going to coin it, in modern Australian beef processing history, is a record. And at least certainly the highest on a weekly level ever, since the 1970s. So in modern beef processing in Australia, we're at weekly record slaughter levels. Combine that with carcass weights, which we know are remaining really resilient and strong, obviously influenced heavily by the contribution of grain-fed bodies. But generally, when you combine that record weekly slaughter numbers and strong carcass weights, we'd also be having, if it was measurable, record beef production. So March itself, if you looked at it as a month, would probably be the highest March on record. It would be the highest March on record for beef production. Slaughter numbers very much the same, or certainly in modern terms. So the combination there of those factors is delivering us these really large availabilities of beef, which obviously products around the world are chasing, and we're at record levels on exports as well. Q1 overall, I've got estimated at 2.28 million head for the quarter on slaughter numbers. That'd be an increase of 5% year on year, or compared to Q1 25. So again, already in the early stages of 26, we're looking at incremental sustained increases in growth in kill numbers. Now, if you extrapolate 5% out across the year, that puts the calendar year slaughter numbers north of 9.5 million head, which again would be another increase on the near 50-year highs we saw in 25. So a situation to keep an eye on in terms of whether we can sustain those kill numbers, which I believe we will. Those early estimates on my calculations for Q1 slaughter, 5% ahead of last year, and it would be a quarter one record, or certainly the strongest quarter one result we've seen since the 70s. Again, always plenty to talk about, and some of it not exactly positive, certainly on the markets front. But I think when we step back and look at what this all means, it's important to remember that the fundamentals for the beef industry are really solid at the minute. Everything is soundly intact. Nothing has changed in the sense of underlying global demand for Australian product. Seasonal conditions across, you know, big parts of Australia and the eastern seaboard are in a really good place. You know, the far south and the far north is in great shape. And this should promote some optimism. We can't forget that the fundamentals are good. Yes, the market is trading on emotion at the minute, but fundamentals are soundly intact for the beef industry. But in saying that, markets are funny things. And clearly, emotion is driving market performance at the minute, and it's a major contributor. Add in fuel and fertilizer concerns and cost of those, freight as well, dry weather and high supply, it's contributing, but we are seeing emotion play a real key role in market performance at the minute. And off the back of all of this, despite the fundamentals being good, price volatility all of a sudden has intensified significantly in the past fortnight particularly. Now, I think for producers and beef supply chain participants, an important consideration is how do you manage that risk to volatility and what do you do to protect yourself and your business from these shocks and changes and swift moves in price, which can damage earnings and hurt the underlying business you operate in. Something to consider moving forwards. Next time, really looking forwards to having Pat Hutchinson, the director of Gibraltar Strategic Advisory, on to join us. Pat and I are going to discuss the recently announced EU-Australian Free Trade Agreement, this situation with China and its quota limits, and global beef trade and the Australian market more broadly. Pat's been involved in the beef industry for 25 to 30 years, so really looking forwards to getting his views on different things. He's ridden the wave in the Australian beef industry through COVID and the previous China announcements on plant closures. So looking forwards to hearing his insights. If you've got a question on that episode or today's raised any questions, make sure you send me an email to ripley.atkinson@stonex.com or record a voice note of yourself, where you're from, and the question, and we'll get to answering it in the next episode. Feel free to share this with any of your friends or colleagues. It's the best way for this information to get in the hands of others. And if you are enjoying it, give it a follow or review it on your listening platform. But thanks for tuning in this week. Take care. And until next time, we'll see you then. Cheers.